chapter 3. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come together, Lord, and study your word. We just pray now that you would open our minds and our eyes, Lord, as we study, that the body of Christ would be edified from things that are said here this morning. And Lord, that if there is one here lost, that something would be said to the teaching or the preaching, that would be used by your Spirit to convict them and let them see that they need to be saved before it becomes too late. Father, we pray for those that are sick, that can't be with us this morning, those that are at work, and Lord, those that are going through things in their life that we just don't understand. And we just ask that you be with them and comfort them. And Father, everything that's accomplished this morning, we'll give you the praise for it. In the name of God. Last week, we began to look at some things concerning our foundation as Christians and how it is under attack. And I just want to read a couple of verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 10, Paul says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith." And you know, I guess it's always been under attack, but it just seems more so as the time draws near and the time draws short that the attack is more concentrated to try and erode the foundation and tear that foundation of our faith away and tear it down. And I said last week that I believe there are three ways in which that is being done, and call it the three E's. One is evolution. And it seeks to discredit the Genesis account of creation and take away that foundation of our faith. The other, or one of the others, is error. And it is the Bible that's full of errors. There are things in the Bible that contradicts itself, and that comes from a failure to rightly divide the word of truth. And the third, I said, is elimination. The way that you eliminate it is by not taking it away, but offering more than one choice. In other words, the King James is just another translation. We have, you know, we live in more modern times. We don't speak Shakespearean English. The V's and the vowels, we don't need that. So we need a more modern translation. So we will we'll change some words here, there, more modern, you know, so it's easy to understand. And they eliminate it through offering more than one. And I believe those are at least three ways, and you may come up with 10, I don't know. Those are the three that I come up with, in which I believe the foundation of our faith is under attack. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, why is it so important that we believe the Genesis account of creation when it comes to this? Why is that an important aspect? Well, look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, notice in verse 10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." So at some point we were enemies. "Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Now watch it in verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, it is through the Genesis account of creation that we find sin entering into the world, and death by sin. Without it, we have no way of explaining how we got in the condition we're in. Not only that, we don't have a need for a Savior. Take away sin entering into the world and death passing upon all men. And you take away the need for Jesus Christ to come into this world to die for those sins. Be our Savior. The word world there, as it's used, the Greek word is cosmos. And it means, and it's translated in other places, adorning. Paul, when he writes about, in I think 1 Timothy, says that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with plain faces.
That adorning is the same Greek word, cosmos, that's translated world. So when you think about the world, don't think about the rock that we call planet Earth. Think about that which adorns it, that which dresses it, that which decorates it, the living things upon it. That's where sin entered into. That's where death entered into. Not necessarily the third rock from the sun, as the TV show was, but that which is alive on this earth. That's where sin entered into. You know, it's used, the English word world is translated, that word is translated as world also. And it has to do with that which is eternal. That's the word Paul used when he wrote the book of Titus, where he said that God, before the world began, promised eternal life to somebody. That goes all the way back to eternity past. This has to do with the creation in which we start to find in Genesis chapter 1, where God created man in His image and placed him in this world. It was Adam's transgression in this world where sin entered into. And that's the reason we need a Savior. Without that, how do we explain it? Why was it necessary for Jesus to die? Why was it necessary for Him to come into this world? Why is it necessary for you to be here this morning? Were it not for this happening, Adam's transgression, there would be no need for a Savior. That's why Satan wants to attack the Genesis account of creation. If he can tear that down, you can throw the whole Bible away. There's no need for it. Well, where was sin before it entered the world? Paul said, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Where was sin before sin entered into the world? You say, well, it was nowhere. Well, it had to be somewhere. If you're outside this building and you enter in this building, then you're outside of it. Sin was outside of this era, this world, and it entered into it somehow. Look back in the book of Ezekiel. Hold Romans, we're coming back. But look in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. In Ezekiel 28, in verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, and he lists those. Let's jump down to the bottom of that verse. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He he led the sons of God in song. He was a great singer. And yet, what do we call people that can sing and that they make it? You know, they're stars. They're worshiped. They're idolized. American Idol, we idolize those people that can sing, that have beautiful voices. Satan had a beautiful voice. It was created within him. Verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee." Here we find Satan. Before he has failed, he is beautiful. He summed up the beauty and the wisdom, and he could sing. He was just an amazing thing to behold. But he had pride because of his beauty. And it rose up within him, and he sinned. And so he brought sin to this world and knocked on the door. And Adam answered. "For by one man sin entered into the world." He allowed it to come into this world by his transgression, by disobeying God. Satan sinned before Adam sinned. Satan brought it into the physical realm, the world in which we live. It was in the spiritual realm, the heavenly realm in which they lived, because of Satan. Look, you don't have to hold Ezekiel there. Look, you still got Romans. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 19. Colossians 1:19, "For it pleased the Father that in Him," and that's Jesus, "should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind." Remember we read there that we were enemies in Romans chapter 5? "By wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Hold on to Colossians, we'll be coming back there. Jesus Christ reconciled everything. He reconciled this world in which we live in and the world that was before it that was tainted by Satan when he fell. All things were reconciled by Jesus Christ when He died on the cross at Calvary. Go to Genesis, take that away, then you have no need for the reconciliation of anything. It's the foundation of our faith, and that's why it's under attack. Jesus Christ reconciled it all through His death. Back in Romans chapter 5, hold Colossians, we'll be going back there in just a minute for a couple of verses. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 again, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Skip down with me to verse 18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one," Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation,
Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ paid the sin debt at Calvary. When He died on the cross, He paid the sin, S-I-N debt, and He died for your sins. They were all taken care of at Calvary. We find the need for that in what happened back here. You understand? We need a Savior. We're sinful individuals. The reason we need a Savior is because of what Adam did. Foundation of our faith. And that's why it's under attack. Look in Romans chapter 1. You're still holding Colossians. We'll go back there in just a minute. But in Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, and the Him is God of verse 19. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul here says the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world. The things that you cannot see, Paul says, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Everything that you see is the result of a Creator. I don't care what it is in this world that you see, it is the result of a Creator. So we understand that there needs to be a Creator. We're without excuse. There's no excuse for anybody in this world to be an atheist. Somebody that says, I don't believe in God. Okay, don't believe in God. I don't care. That's up to you. But you don't have an excuse so that you can or can't believe in God. God gave you a reason to believe in Him by the things that you see that are made. And I've given this illustration before. This podium here did not just poof and there it was. It is the workmanship of somebody's hands who built it. Those pews that you're sitting on are the result of somebody creating either machinery that would plane it and do everything that need to be done to the wood so that they could create that pew. The cushions that you're sitting on, the songbooks that you'll hold in just a little bit and read out of and sing out of, the Bible you have in your lap, everything speaks of a Creator. You are without excuse to say, I don't believe in God. But not only that, I told you to hold Romans, but I told you to hold Colossians. Look in Colossians again. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now watch at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Jesus Christ is the Creator. All things were created by Him and for Him. Things invisible, things that are visible. Thrones, dominions, principalities, all those things that are out there in the heavens that you can't see that do exist in the spiritual realm were created by Him and for Him, and they were tainted, this world, by Satan. This world was also created and was given to Adam. Satan came into it and knocked on the door, as I said. Adam answered, and now this world is tainted. And we read a few minutes ago in Colossians that He reconciled the whole shooting match into Himself by the death on the cross. He is the Creator, and He is the image, Paul says there in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. Look back in Romans chapter 1 again in verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now watch this. Even His eternal power and Godhead. Even His eternal power and Godhead are visible. How? By the things that are made. Jesus Christ is that image. People say, nobody has ever seen God. Yes, they have. He walked the earth for 33 years. They saw Him. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. He was God in the flesh. God incarnate was Jesus Christ while He was on this earth. People have seen God. If they've seen Jesus. Now, we haven't. We didn't live back then. But the people that lived in His time did. They saw the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, He created man, what? In His image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Man is created in the image of God. So what does evolution do? Takes away the Creator. Takes away the image. And it says, started with something like this. A bunch of squiggly things on it. In this primordial soup. And out of that, it decided I'm going to grow an arm or grow a head or grow a leg. And then I'm going to do this. And I'm going to start walking out of the water. And I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to be on all fours, and then I'm going to come up and stand up. Here I am. Now I'm a man. That's what evolution teaches. Takes away the Creator and puts it in a process of random mutations that happen by chance and have no basis in fact. It's all the figment of somebody's imagination. Hold Romans. We'll be coming back there. But look with me. Well, one more verse in Romans, and then we'll. Verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. They were without excuse in verse 20. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's that whole evolutionary thought. It's vain imaginations. And that's where they are. Hold Romans now. Look back in Isaiah chapter 14. You want to know where the thought and the process, the idea of evolution, here you go. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, what? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will. I will. I will. I will ascend. And that's what evolution teaches. The ascension of man from this to what you see here in this building. That's evolution. I will do it myself. I will ascend. I don't need a God. I am my own God. I am the creative process of evolution. That's what it teaches. It takes away that foundation of our faith. And it puts it in the hands of the individual. I will. What did Jesus say when He prayed there in the garden? Drops of blood, sweat like drops of blood. If there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to have to go through what He was going to go through.
Who in their right mind would? Who in their right mind would want to be beaten and scourged and have their back ripped open, have a crown of thorns plaited on their head, have their beard pulled out, be beaten, spit upon, stripped naked, and nailed to a cross? Who would want that in their right mind? Nobody would. You wouldn't. I wouldn't. But you know what he said? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ accepted the will of the Father. He was subordinate to it at that time. And he died on the cross for your sins. Why? Because all this happened back here. You see, that's the foundation of our faith. Take that away, and what he did on the cross means nothing. Means absolutely nothing. What did Satan say? What did Lucifer say? I will ascend. My will. And that's what evolution teaches. Not the will of God, not the will of the Creator, but the will of man. Back in Romans chapter 1 again. In verse 21, let's read that verse again. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Listen, when you don't recognize God as the Creator, when you step away from this book and what it says, your heart becomes darkened. And a darkened heart is capable of some terrible things. Look in the world around you today. Look at the things that go on that man does to his fellow man so that he can ascend. That's what it's all about. It's always about ascension. Why did Hitler do what he did to the Jews? Because he wanted the power. Why did Stalin and all of these guys that were mass murderers, why did they do what they did? Power. Ascension. Why did something like Jeffrey Dahmer do what he did? Power over those people. Ascension. When you fail to recognize God as who He is, it darkens your heart and you become capable of some unimaginable things. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That is the opposite of what evolution teaches. Evolution teaches man's going upward. What did they do? They went down. They became fools when they stepped away from the Creator. Lord willing, next week, I want to continue this, and we're going to look at some more things concerning the way that evolution is attacking our foundation. We're going to get into a little bit more of some things in Genesis and some different things, but you can take a break.